Welcome to Sermons and Sounds of Plymouth, the podcast of Plymouth United Church of Christ. I'm Pastor David, and on behalf of the members of this congregation, thank you very much for joining us. May God bless you through these words, and may you know God's love through them. Now, the podcast. You all, and welcome to Plymouth in the name of Jesus, who has made us salt and light to the world and in whom love is perfected. Welcome. Good to see you all here this morning. We are a gospel lesson. We continue from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and we'll hear the words when he says, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light for the world. So we're talking of salt and light this morning, and see on the communion table we have a varieties of salt, and I will invite you up actually later. You can taste some of these, and then the jar of salt is from George Stecker's. Is that your grandfather?
My great uncle.
Great uncle used to work in a salt mine, and this is some of the salt from that mine that's in that canister, the blocks there. So we'll be talking of salt and light this morning. A few things coming up. We've got bingo Wednesday night, 6:30, the Chippewa Valley LGBT bingo night. Always fun and a good time. We do have Lent will begin in a month. It's kind of far away, but as usual, we're planning the Wednesday night gatherings for soup and scripture gatherings. But I'm also wondering, because I know not everyone likes to go out at night, if any of you would be interested and would attend if we did the kind of what we're going to do at night, but do that during the day, say at noon, have a lunch, soup, and scripture. If you would like that, if you would come to that, please let me know. I'm happy to make that happen as well, because I know we certainly some don't like to drive and be out in the dark at night. So talk to me after worship some other time, and if there's enough interest, we'll make that happen. I think that could be a good thing. We do have potluck after worship. We have lunch after worship, so please stay and eat. We should have plenty of good food. And we also, in the worship service, our Lord's Prayer. I chose a different version of the Lord's Prayer this morning that we'll say. This is out of the New Zealand Anglican Prayer Book. I came across this the other day, and I thought it was kind of interesting enough, different enough, that we'd give it a go today. And that is all I have. Is there anything else in life of the church Kay has?
I have two announcements. First one is February Film Festival is happening again. There's a nice table in the fellowship hall, and we have dozens of really, really good movies. And as always, just take a movie home with you. If you could make a donation to our campers, we would really, really appreciate it. There are a lot of Oscar award-winning movies in there, and we've done this during February because it's Oscar month, and that's where that came from. If you don't want to watch a movie and still would like to make a donation to our campers, we'll take that too. So whatever you want to do. But there's really, really great movies out there this year, so please take a look at that during our potluck time. We'll wrap that up at the end of the month, so please have the movies back by the end of the month or as soon as you're done viewing them. The second thing is, if you look around on the chairs, there are some Valentines for you. Make sure you take one. The confirmation class, we talked this morning about St. Valentine and where did the exchange of Valentines come from. I told the kids that when I was growing up, I remembered a story about how a man named Valentine used to help lovers get together if their families said they couldn't be together, and he would help them get together. And well, in doing some research this week, I could not find that story anywhere. But I don't know where I heard that from. But anyway, the research now says that the reason why St. Valentine and love are associated is that one of three St. Valentines was martyred on February 14th. He was killed for his religious beliefs and what he used to do. And at about that time is when birds would find mates. So it was considered a time of mating and of love. And the whole story is, this started in like the year 297. So over all these hundreds of years, that's how we have associated Valentine's Day with love and being with a certain Valentine. So I said to the kids this morning, I said, well, if you don't have a Valentine, you know, like a really handsome guy or something, isn't there always somebody who loves you? They said, yes, God and Jesus always love you. So we made Valentine's for everyone today to remind you that no matter what your life situation is, Jesus and God always love you, so you always have that Valentine. So put this up on your fridge to remember the fact that you are loved, and you are loved by very, very special people in God and Jesus. So happy Valentine's Day from Congregation.
Excellent. Thank you. Anything else? Need to go over the life of the church. All right, well.
Oh, we have two bowls each. There's announcement.
Oh.
Empty bowls is March 6th, and I have tickets available.
Very good. All right, well, now as the light enters the sanctuary, let it enter our hearts as well as we prepare to worship.
Heal and embrace you. Lead. rise if you are able and join the call to worship. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus says to us.
And you are the light of the world.
Make the world more livable.
Bring Christ's light to all of God's house.
Be the salt.
Be the light.
And let us now worship our God who trusts us with such a holy vocation. Let us pray. As we worship you this morning, Holy God, and learn at Jesus' feet that we are salt and light, help us to understand with our minds, but even more so with our hearts, that we may live as salt to enhance the lives of others by shining your radiant light of hope against all despair and fear by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
The salt for the earth, O people, salt for the reign of God. Share the flavor of life, O people, life in the city of God. Bring forth the reign of mercy, bring forth the reign of peace, bring forth the reign of justice, bring forth the city of God. The light on a hill, O people, light for the city of God. Shine so holy and bright, O people, shine for the city of God. Bring forth the rain of mercy, bring forth the rain of peace, bring forth the rain of justice, bring forth the city of God. The seed of the word, O people, bring forth the reign of God. Seeds of mercy and seeds of justice grow in the city of God. Bring forth the reign of mercy, bring forth the reign of peace, bring forth the reign of justice, bring forth the city of God. We are a blessed and pilgrim people, bound for the reign of God. Love our journey and love our homeland. Love is the city of God. Bring forth the reign of mercy. Bring forth the reign of peace. Bring forth the reign of justice. Bring forth the city of God.
We are always beloved, always loved by God, always loved by Jesus, and always welcome back into the fold. No matter what mistakes we may have made or things that we failed to do, we can always know God will embrace us back. And so in that spirit, let us say the prayer of confession together. God of wonder, you have given us a holy mission to be your salt and your light. And you send your Holy Spirit to help us do so. That you choose us is an extraordinary thing. We try to be faithful to that call, but we make mistakes that hurt others, and we sometimes fail to shine against the darkness. Forgive us when we retreat from your world. Inspire us to move more fully into it with faith that you have given us what we need. Amen. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, "We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And the greatest of those gifts is God's incarnation in Jesus Christ, who brings grace and love, and in whose name you are forgiven."
You are forgiven.
And may the peace of the Lord be with you all.
and also with you.
Take a moment and share the peace of Christ with your neighbors. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Thank you. Peace be with you. Peace. Good to see you around. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Good to see you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Travis. Peace be with you, Carter. Peace be with you, Morgan. Peace be with you, Rob. Peace be with you. Oh. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Dorothy. Peace be with you, Joyce. Peace be with you. How's Sarah doing? Nope. Oh, okay. I hope to see her soon.
Testament lesson is taken from Isaiah 58. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is it not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." Please join me in reading responsively Psalm 112. Praise the Lord.
Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments.
Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever.
They rise in the darkness as a light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous.
It is well with those who deal generously in land, who conduct their affairs with justice.
For the righteous will never be moved. They will be remembered forever.
They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord.
Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes.
They have distributed freely. They have given to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn is exalted in honor.
Thank you, Keith. Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Matthew, and we started last week at the beginning of chapter 5, which is the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, or Sermon on the Hill, that goes on for a few chapters, and we'll be reading through this for the next few weeks up until we begin Lent. So in this passage, he talks of being salt of the earth and light to the world. And I'm going to read a translation from the Message that I've used a few other times. This just does a nice way of making it a little more understandable as to what he's saying in the text here. And so hear now and listen for how God is speaking to you through these words from Matthew's Gospel. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. And don't suppose for a minute that I have come to demolish the scriptures, either God's law or the prophets. I'm not here to demolish, but to complete. I am going to put it all together in a vast panorama. God's law is more real and lasting than the stars in the sky and the ground at your feet. Long after stars burn out and earth wears out, God's law will be alive and working. Trivialize even the smallest item in God's law, and you will only have trivialized yourself. But take it seriously. Show the way for others, and you will find honor in the kingdom. Unless you do far better than the Pharisees in the matters of right living, you won't know the first thing about entering the kingdom. Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God. Focusing today really on the salt part, a little bit on the light part, but it's the salt of the earth. Salt is a miraculous kind of substance. It's got some interesting properties to it. And salt used to be really quite rare and expensive in a lot of places, especially in the ancient world. It was not so easy to come by, and it was rather expensive. And a few years ago, I read a book called Salt. It was on the history of salt, or at least on humanity's history of our relationship with salt. And it's really quite interesting how much conflict and war and tribal conflict and et cetera went on because of this search for salt and the need for salt, wanting access to it as well as access to other natural resources and land. But salt, we just don't often think of salt as having been this rare commodity at some time, that it would have been part of a political process to care about it. Yeah, we have found large deposits underground. It's easy to mine. It's very cheap. I was just reading, there's a huge, kind of all of Michigan State and part of Wisconsin and some others were sitting on a gigantic salt pile down underground, trillions of tons of salt probably. And I was reading that the big mine over by Detroit, and salt after it's been mined is like $15, $20 a ton if you pick it up. You have to bring your own truck to pick it up. But used to be very expensive. Now it's down to 15, 20 bucks a ton to go get it. So it's hard to imagine a day when people just didn't have shakers and canisters of salt all over their house, and that salt wasn't so readily available. And salt was valuable enough that our word salary, wages, actually comes from the old word for the Roman soldiers' salary, for salt money, so the soldiers would have enough money to go and buy their salt. But even beyond its history in human affairs, it's just this, it's a miraculous substance because it's necessary for life, at least for us and most life forms. I can't speak for all life on Earth, but most of it needs at least some level of salt and some sodium to survive. It's necessary for life. And so for Jesus here to say, "You are the salt," is to kind of be given the status of the miraculous. How does that feel? Think of yourself as part of the miracle. You are the salt of the earth. Necessary for life, and yet too much salt can kill. Certainly high blood pressure could be an issue with too much salt or other problems, but salt also has the property of drawing out moisture. If you were to encase yourself in salt, it would slowly just suck all the moisture out of you and kill you. It can be dangerous. And salt can kill bacteria and germs and preserve food by taking out the moisture and thus taking out what the bacteria need to survive. Salt is dangerous, but it's needed. And it's made of sodium, which is explosive in water. It's made of chlorine, which is a poison in large quantities. But you put the two together, and it makes salt. Something that we all need. It keeps our cells working and keeps our lives going. It's kind of weird that these two elements, sodium and chlorine, would come together to be something essential for life. Although I don't think that's quite what Jesus was talking about, but in Jesus' time they would have known of two properties of salt, and I think that's what Jesus is getting at here, to say you are the salt of the earth. The first one is that you can preserve food by encasing it in salt or covering it with an awful lot of salt to draw out that moisture to keep it from spoiling. Salted pork, salted cod, many other salted foods to preserve, and that's kind of a Christian thing, to be a preserver, to keep things from spoiling. That's part of what we do as Christians, is to preserve. And salt also, when used in small amounts, in the right amounts, is a flavor enhancer. It makes things taste better. I think that's also what Jesus is getting at here. Make things taste better. Bring out the God flavors of the world. It makes food taste better. And it doesn't make food taste better by changing its flavor. But salt works with the flavor already inherent in the food to bring it out, to make it stronger, to make it pop, to make it sing. Unless you use too much salt, and then all you taste is salt. but in the right amount, it draws out the flavors that are already there. And you're all good cooks here, and I'm sure you've used salt and salted your meat, roast, or salted the turkey, or salt the vegetables, or maybe add a little bit of salt to corn on the cob. There's a summer thought. Corn on the cob, melted butter and salt, and it will come again. It doesn't feel like it, but in a few months we will have corn on the cob again. A little bit of salt can make the flavors just really stand out. Takes the flavor that's already there and gives that flavor more authority. Just makes it taste better. Makes it more like it's supposed to taste. And you've probably been at a restaurant or if you spent time in a hospital where they don't salt their food. Unsalted food can be very bland. It can be kind of yuck. You know, that's often the complaint of the hospital food because there are so many people on the sodium, low sodium diet that they just don't salt anything. Everybody gets the bland food. Or you maybe have been to places where they put too much salt. And then that's also just gross because that's all you taste. You can't taste any of the food that's underneath the salt. You just get that harsh taste of salt on your tongues. But in the right amount, salt can be a glorious enhancer of what's already there. And maybe at the very beginning of the world, after creation, when God looked out at the world and said, "This is very good." Maybe God then also thought, but, you know, it needs a little salt. So I'm going to make some of these people to be salt for these other people. And I'll make them be salt for these people. They'll be salt for one another. Together, they can enhance their lives. They'll be salt for one another to make their lives more beautiful, more flavorful, to enhance the quality. And that's us. We are the salt. God has made us to be salt for the earth. We're the salt, and we're also the light to take away darkness, the light of grace, the light of love, while we're being the salt that makes it all taste so much better than any of us can be alone, to enhance and to preserve. So be salt. Be the salt. There's some beauty in this metaphor that Jesus uses of we being the salt of the earth. It may even be a bit of a command to be understood here. Not just Jesus saying, "You are the salt of the earth," but as kind of a command. You are the salt of the earth. Part of the beauty of that is that there's not only one function for salt. There's variety of what salt can do. There's not one way to be salt. Some salt is used to preserve foods. Some salt is used to remove ice from roads and sidewalks. Some salt is used to flavor food. Some salt gets used to soothe. You may have done a salt water rinse after you've had a root canal or other mouth surgery. Just make it feel better and help it to heal. Salt can help to heal a wound. It can be painful. But it does help. It helps to heal the wounds. It can help with a sore throat. Many ways to be salt, many functions of salt. This weekend is Evolution Weekend, when religious communities all over the world are kind of putting together science and faith and saying there doesn't have to be the conflict there. And think of all of the salt over the years that scientists have been, as they have explored the universe and the way things work, and shown us, told us how the universe works, and by doing so, tell us more about how God works, about how God's creation was put together through physics and evolution and chemistry and the history of the earth and the history of the universe and the scientists and the engineers that have given us such spectacular and wonderful things like iPhones and microwave ovens and Billy Bass singing fish. waffle irons, just even simple things, steel, nails, salt of the scientists and the inventors, the salt of our doctors that keep us healthy, the salt of our teachers and our musicians and actors and writers, the salt that police and firefighters bring for us, the salt of librarians and activists and the hospice caregivers, the salt of the dreamers and the visionaries that lead us in new directions, and even just the simple salts of politeness and kindness, generosity, a positive word, and encouragement. All ways to be salt. So many ways to be salt, and that's what we're called to be, is to be salt. To let our saltiness shine. If I can mix a couple of metaphors there. Be salt of the earth. And there are so many varieties of salts, just as there are varieties of people. We all have our own gifts, our own talents, our own passions. Just like there are many varieties of salt. Salt kind of tastes like salt, no matter where it comes from. Salt is salt, just in its raw, processed, pure form. Salt is salt. But salt's taste, if it hasn't been overly processed, the taste of the salt varies depending on where it comes from, depending on the earth that it's dug out of, depending on maybe what water it's been taken out of, where in the world it comes from makes a difference into how it tastes, because it has different other minerals, things mixed in with it. It's all salt, but it can taste different, very much like us. We're all different. All have our own flavorings, and yet we're also all made in God's image. We're all human, but we're not all exactly the same. We'll bring our salt in our own way. And so I want you to meditate on that thought of varieties of salt, varieties of people, varieties of ways that we can fulfill Jesus' mission to be salt in the earth. We're not called to be salt in the same way. We're all called in different ways. I want you to meditate on that thought of being salt, being different. I have on the communion table, some of you have already seen and come up and look, there's a variety of salts here from around the world. We have some salt from Japan, from France, from Maine, from Hawaii, and then just kind of a generic sea salt. I'm not really sure where it came from. I think that's been a pretty heavily processed sea salt, and they're in bowls, and they're labeled, and there are spoons in those bowls. Think of this varieties of salt, and Lynn's going to sing a song here, and the refrain for the song is in your bulletin, so if at any point you feel comfortable to sing along on the refrain, feel free to do so, but if not, at the very end, Lynn will lead you in the refrain. But while she's singing, I invite you to come forward, if you're comfortable and want to try. Just come forward while she's singing and try. Taste some of these salts. And notice that there is a difference in the flavors and how they feel in the mouth. And so think of how you can bring your salt in service to Jesus in the many different ways that we can. We have some that are the salt of the quilters, the salt of our street ministers, the salt of our volunteers, the salt of our teachers, the salt of the people that come in and shovel and change the light bulbs and mow our lawns, all sorts of salts, the salt of volunteering in other organizations around town, salt of what you do in your jobs, in your vocations. Come and taste the varieties of salt and think, meditate on how you can bring your salt in service to Jesus while Lynn sings. I invite you. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Taste and see, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Oh, taste and see, taste and see the goodness of the Lord, of the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. Praise shall always be on my lips. My soul shall glory in the Lord, for God has been so good to me. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Oh, taste and see, taste and see the goodness of the Lord, of the Lord. Glorify the Lord with me. Together let us all praise God's name. I called on the Lord who answered me. God will put all my trust. Taste and see, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Oh, taste and see, taste and see the goodness of the Lord, of the Worship the Lord, all you people. You want nothing if you ask. Go forth and show God's light to all. You lack for nothing if you do. Taste and see, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Oh, taste and see the goodness of the Lord, of the Lord. Join me. Taste and see, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Oh, taste and see the goodness of the Lord, of the
time to move into our offering, and we can give back to God from what we have received, our morning offering now be received.
salt and light, so that we and those around us may taste and see your limitless love for us. Amen.
Please be seated. Ask now if there are any joys or concerns you'd like to pray for this morning as we pray for the church and the world and people around us. We'll ask that you keep Christian Shufflin in prayers. He's continuing his illness, sickness, and kind of been getting slightly worse over the past few months. So keep him in your thoughts. And also want to keep Carol and Kathy, Mary's family, in our prayers. Sarah, Louise's great-granddaughter, has come home, which is good. So that's a nice step up. And also joys for Jenny House. Her surgery, her hip replacement this week, went very well. So give thanks for that. Any other joys or concerns? Joyce? Peter and Jim. Back to Faye.
My joy is that I have a new great-granddaughter.
Oh.
She was born during the blizzard 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my.
And her name is Claire Ellen.
Claire Ellen. All right.
And her grandmother's.
All right. And that is a great-granddaughter?
Yes.
Did you say? All right. Well, congratulations. Granddaughter for Bay. And how many great-grandchildren is that now?
Oh, you got me off.
Oh, all right. Wow, all right. Didn't mean to stump you there.
Seven,
wow. Impressive. George.
Prayers for my friend John.
All right. Your friend John, cancer. Any other? Oh, Charlene.
My great-granddaughter, Mackenzie, has a problem. She has a large hip, and her head is turned. And she's got something wrong with her neck.
Hmm.
She has to go to the
dentist. Okay, that's McKinley?
McKenzie.
Kinsey. All right. Yeah. Health issues. Is that the one that was just born?
Yeah.
A little while? Okay.
Yeah, she's 8 months old.
8 months old. All right. Marie.
You've all heard me ask for prayers for Larry.
Mm. Yep.
And Larry moved out of Mount Washington. So now I don't know if he's going to have his kidney transplant or if he'll go back to Hawaii. I might hear something from him to the grapevine. I did hear that he was at the foot doctor with this other guy who said to say hi to me.
Hmm. Nice. All right. So that's your friend Larry's moved. You're not really sure what his. About his kidney replacement, huh? All right.
He's at the top of the list.
Very good. Well, we'll keep him in prayers and hope that all is going well with him and let you hear from him. All right. Well, let us be together in prayer. Also remind you that we are saying a different Lord's Prayer at the end of this one, so please read that out of your bulletin. Almighty God, through the testimony of those who know your love, you have guided us to ask for what we need, and to ask knowing, confident that you listen and that you care. Our Lord Jesus called his disciples to live as a city on a hill and a lamp on a stand so all may see your glory. So we pray for the church, for the community of disciples. Grant that we who claim the name of Christ may shine as light into our dark world. Jesus called for his disciples to be salt for the world, enhancing its goodness and flavoring life for the better, that all may know your love and grace and have fullness of life. So we pray for this church, this fellowship of disciples of Plymouth. Grant that we who claim the name Christian, that we may be salt for this world. And as our brother and apostle Paul led the church, not by lofty words of human wisdom, but by the wisdom born of your Spirit, we pray for all who serve the church and for all who serve this church. Pray for all pastors and teachers, all council and committee and commission members, all who volunteer in service in your name, and all who minister in the name of Christ. Pray that all forsake worldly knowledge that perishes to be led instead by your truth and by your wisdom. Blessed are those who live by your commandments and who honor your will. So we pray for our world. We pray for all governments and leaders. May all who rule honor justice and compassion and serve the common good so that the people may flourish. And as you teach us to offer food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, help us to be more faithful to these of your desires. We pray as well on their behalf. We pray for all the sick, all who are hungry, all who are poor, all who live on the streets, and all who are oppressed. Let your church worldwide, and let this church, this congregation, minister to those in distress and bear witness to your abiding compassion for all who suffer. We ask that you send us your people who need to know of your love, all who feel darkness around them and need to experience the light that we offer, all who feel they live flavorless lives and need the salt that we have here, all who seek a place to be told that they matter, all who desire friendship and fellowship. Send your people to us, Holy One, that we may be salt and light for them, and they be salt and light for us. And as you send them to us, help us also to seek them out and invite them in. And we do pray for all who are sick and suffering, and pray especially for Christian, Carol, Kathy, for Sarah, for Louise and her family as they watch over her. We pray for Peter, who continues to recuperate, and for Jim, whose ankle seems not to heal at all. Pray for John and his cancer, for Mackenzie with her health issues, offer a prayer for Larry, who has been waiting for kidney replacement. Pray that that continues to move forward and that Marie will hear news from him as to what is happening in his life. And we offer you gratitude and thanksgiving and joy for success of Jenny's surgery and for Faye's newest great-granddaughter, Claire Ellen, newly arrived into this world. May she know always health and love. And now, Holy God, we offer you our silent prayers, or offer you a moment of our own silence to listen to your voice. Hear us, speak to us in the silence. Pray all this in the name of your Son, who taught us and showed us how to be salt and light to your world, and who also taught us to pray to you. Eternal Spirit, earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven. The hallowing of your name echoes through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen.
Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. Use this gift."
We go out to enhance the good of the world.
And Jesus said that you are the light of the world. Do not keep this gift of the Spirit under wraps, but uncover it and let it blaze.
We go out to enhance the blazing Pentecost to fill the light into the world's dark places.
And go with this assurance from Jesus himself, who said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You have the Holy Spirit, which gives you the power and the holy insistence to be salt and light in the name of Jesus." Let us all say amen.
Amen. Amen.
We have a new sung benediction, which we can print the words, but unfortunately we could not print the music. We don't have the rights to that. So I'm going to sing it once. This is something that we'd like to incorporate into worship a little more often. So I'll go, it's easy, it's very easy, you'll catch on. I'll do it once, and then we'll go back and jump in whenever you think you can. Yeah, it's not hard. Lead me, Lord, I will follow. Lead me, Lord, I will go. You have called me, I will answer. Lead me, Lord, I will go. We'll do it again. Lead me, Lord,
good news for this day and for all days. Thank you again for listening to the Sermons and Sounds of Plymouth podcast. If you are in the Eau Claire area, we especially invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. And I invite you also to check out our website at pcucc.com for upcoming events and special worship services. From Plymouth United Church of Christ, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, this is Pastor David. Thank you for spending this time with us. May God bless you.